playing the hits of today's digital news. CNET Radio is online.
I'm Brian Cooley, and this is CNET Radio with our weekly look at what's cool over on GameCenter.com. And it's something new at Game Center. They have a Hall of Fame. No, make that a Hall of Game that has just been introduced, starting off with the topic of innovation. Games that have really done something innovative and new and deserve to be recognized for history. Now, in the first installment, authored by Hugh Falk and George Jones, there's a look at 10 games that really made a difference in terms of their ideas and what they brought to the gaming space. We talked to Hugh Falk about some of the choices that he helped bring into this Hall of Game Chapter 1. Now, this is the beginning of a sort of Hall of Game innovation here, as you guys have dubbed it. And the first thing I thought when I saw this this beginning list of 10 you've put together is, how did they get it down to 10? Was that tough?
Yeah, actually, it was very difficult. In fact, this is really the beginning of a museum of gaming, and in fact, this is just the beginning of one particular wing of that museum, which is the Hall of Innovations. And these are games that did something to improve gaming for the gaming community, and it's something that is quantifiable, meaning that you can prove it. It's got facts, it's got dates, a certain number of units sold, whatever the case might be. So what we did to get our initial list of 10 is we wrote down all the games that we knew did something that was new and innovative, and then we cut it down to 10 that we definitely could prove.
All right. Now, as we go through these, let's just start at the beginning and reach way back now to 1985, which seems like ancient history in gaming. Ultima 4, The Quest of the Avatar. I know a lot of folks are going to go, oh, man, remember that one? This is early back.
Yeah, one of my personal favorites. And like I said, we're going for quantifiable results here, things that could be measured. And what Ultima 4 did, it really wasn't all that innovative in a lot of areas. Well, first of all, it has the number 4 after it, so how innovative can it actually be? What makes Ultima 4 any better than Ultima 3 or Ultima 2?
Yeah.
Well, what Ultima 4 did is it introduced a morals rating system, basically. You had to, when you chose your character, you picked specific moral choices. You had to answer specific moral questions, and based upon what you did, determine how successful your character was.
Oh.
Now,
that led to more sophisticated games along those lines much later.
Oh, exactly. And no game beforehand ever tried to impose any type of morality. I'm not saying morality was good or bad, that's your own personal decision, but the point is it hadn't been done before.
Right, and it's interesting to look at the original platform. You have a format for the notes there, and takes you back to see original platform PC, Commodore 64, and Apple II.
Exactly.
Wow, that goes back. All right, and then we move along the list.
See, they all had about the same graphics pack, which was about 4 colors.
Yeah. Boy, that's come a long way. As we move along to some of the others, I know we begin to see not just increased gameplay sophistication, but also increased sophistication on the interface and the actual graphic presentation. But how important has that been, or does gameplay remain the real meat of a historically significant game?
Well, you know, that's a big debate that goes on. Of course, the high road is gameplay is what's most important, and graphics are just, you know, icing on the cake. But in reality, graphics sell, and games that are the best sellers aren't necessarily the most innovative, maybe because they have the best graphics. But they didn't do anything new. They're just doing a better version of something that existed previously. So a lot of these games that are in the hall aren't necessarily graphically, you know, aesthetically pleasing. But graphics can be their own innovation as well. If someone comes up with a new graphics resolution or a new 3D enhancement, that can be innovative as well, and that could be in the Hall of Games someday.
Well, speaking of graphically, shall we say, unimpressive, I'm looking at Mystery House from 1990 for the Apple II. Now, that's a simple-looking game, but it made it in as a real legend.
Yeah, that is as graphically unimpressive as a game can possibly be. That was stick figures would be a good way to describe the way Mystery House looks. What makes it unique, though, is that it was the first adventure game that combined graphics and text. And when you're the first to do it, you can get away with lower quality. Stick figures are fine. Before stick figures, you had nothing. You might even say that the leap from nothing to stick figures is far more impressive than the leap from stick figures to 3D enhanced graphics that we have today.
MIDI Maze, 1987 for the Atari ST. What's so important about this one?
Well, this is one most people will never have heard of. And that's because, as you said, for the Atari ST, it was only for the Atari ST. The reason it was only for the Atari ST was it used a built-in feature of the Atari ST computers, which was MIDI ports. Atari was not a terribly well-supported computer, but one area that it did very well was in the music niche, I guess you could say.
Yeah, the sound and music.
Exactly. And the reason it did so well in the music field was because it had built-in MIDI ports, which allows computers and musical instruments like synthesizers to talk to each other. Well, MIDI Maze used those same MIDI ports to create a networkable game. MIDI Maze was really Doom. I mean, it was exactly the same game as Doom. It allowed 16-player death matches. It was first-person perspective running through a maze, and you shot each other.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's the grand forefather of Doom. It was way ahead of its time, but again, because it was on such a limited platform, it didn't get a lot of exposure. It also had a lot of great innovations that even Doom doesn't have, but some of those are mentioned in the article.
Now we know how absolutely voracious the appetite is for great sports games, but take us back to Dr. J versus Larry Bird.
Well, there's actually a lot of innovations in this game, but the real reason it made it into the Hall of Innovations was it was the first game to have player licensing involved. Before this, games were, you know, football or baseball.
Yeah.
There was no star attached to it, and Electronic Arts, which is probably the biggest name in sports games today, started it way back then by signing on Dr. J and Larry Bird.
Now, I don't know this next game, but that doesn't mean anything. Populous.
Oh, Populous is another game that has kind of gotten lost in the shuffle over the last few years, but it started a huge trend. It was basically a god simulator.
Was this the first of what became the Sim series?
Well, it's very similar to the Sim series. It's a little more abstract in that, like Sim City, you had very tangible results. You're trying to run a city. Whereas with this game, it was, like I said, it's a god simulator, not like a mayor simulator. So it was at a much higher level. Huh. But what made it so interesting, and the reason it made it into the hall, was because it was the first real-time strategy game. And there are a lot of those nowadays. In fact, they've become extremely popular since Warcraft has come about. Warcraft and all of its clones in the real-time strategy game genre, the first one was Populous. And it was very similar, actually. Of course, the graphics were much cruder, but the idea was the same.
Now, speaking of the graphics and the real, shall we say, elegance of a simulation, Falcon 3.0 is the last one in this first list of 10 innovators, and it really is one that I think it sure looks the part of being an innovator.
Yeah, and you see, and that's actually one that didn't make it in for its looks. It does look great. You're absolutely right. Even by today's standards, it's a 1991 game, and even by today's standards, it looks great. But the reason it made it into the Hall of Innovations was because it had IPX networking. You could hook with five other people and dogfight each other. All games have that now, but that was the first one, and it was certainly the first flight simulator to offer that. And, you know, some people might say, well, it looked great, and it deserves to be in just for that, but how do you quantify looking great? What makes it look better than some other game? That's a matter of opinion. But being the first flight simulator to offer IPX networking, that's easy to quantify.
Yeah, having substance and looking good, you can't beat that.
Exactly.
As you look into further lists for the Hall of Game and muse over all the games that didn't make it in here, what do you think is the lure that drives innovation in gaming? It would seem to me that there's got to be a tremendous fire burning in the guts of these game developers where they see a place where games can go, and that's how they get the inspiration to do it. I've always been amazed how game developers come up with even the most basic idea for gameplay. If I had to do that, I would starve. I would have no idea how to start. But what do you think drives the game developers, and what does this list tell us about that?
Well, the purpose of a game, at least for many people, is really to tell a story. Whatever that story might be, whether it's an adventure game in which you really are telling a story, or whether it's more of an arcade game in which the story is more straightforward. But for game creators, it's a way to be creative, just like an author creates a novel. And you have the freedom to express the way the user interacts with your creation. It's not simply reading it. It's not a one-way interaction. It's two ways. And for a game creator, that's probably one of the biggest thrills you can have is creating a new way for your users to interact with your creation, your baby. And that's what drives these great innovations. Then there's all the other, you know, Me Toos, the Doom clones and the Quake clones. They're not really being innovative. They're just creating more of the same. They're trying to tell the same story just with nicer graphics or whatever the case might be. But true innovation comes from a desire to get your story and to get your loyal users interacting with your project.
You can check out these and all the other selections in Game Center's Hall of Game for Innovation, the first installment, and you're invited to send your input on games that really made a difference as well. Check it all out. You can link to it right off the Game Center front door at GameCenter.com. I'm Brian Cooley, and this is CNET Radio.